Title: Slice Jungle Raga Cut for Heavyweight Sub Impact in Ableton Live 12 Advanced. Alright, let's build a Jungle Raga slice instrument that hits like a weapon in a modern DNB drop, without wrecking your sub, without eating headroom, and without turning your mix into a blurry mess. The whole philosophy today is simple. The chop brings the attitude and the rhythm, and a separate, controlled sub impact layer brings the physical weight. They move together, but they do not live in the same frequency space. That's how you get that heavyweight feeling, while the low end stays disciplined. First, session prep. Set your tempo to about 170 to 176 BPM. I'll assume 174, because it's a sweet spot for modern jungle and DNB crossover energy. Drop in your raga phrase, and before you even think about slicing, you're going to warp it properly. Enable warp in the clip view. If it's shouty and percussive, choose beats mode, and make sure it's preserving transients. If it's a longer melodic phrase, Complex Pro can work, but be honest with yourself. Complex Pro can get artifact Y fast, and artifacts can make slices feel weak. Here's the rule. Use the simplest warp mode that keeps transients tight. Now line it up. Put 1.1.1 right at the start of the phrase. Then only add warp markers where it drifts. Minimal warp markers. This is one of those advanced habits that separates clean chops from facey, stressed audio. Your goal is a tight, predictable phrase that sits on the grid and slices consistently. Next, we turn it into a playable instrument. Right-click the clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. We're going to slice by transient in most cases. If the phrase is super steady rhythmically, you can slice by eighth notes, but transients usually gives you the most jungle result, because it respects the natural consonants and hits. Once you do that, Ableton will create a drum rack, and each slice lands on its own pad with Simpler inside. Perfect! Drum rack is the power move here, because now you can process slices individually, group them, choke them, and build performance macros like it's a real instrument. Before we write any drop, quick coach move. Commit your slice pool. Audition the pads and be ruthless. If there are weak slices, breathy tails, messy noise, weird pitch warbles, mute them or delete them. The smaller and sharper your rack is, the faster you'll write, and the harder it will hit. 12 good slices beats 40 maybe slices every time. Now let's tighten the slices so they speak like jungle. Open a pad and go into Simpler. Put it in classic mode. Set trigger to trigger, not gate. Trigger gives you consistent hit length, which is what you want for fast edits and predictable groove. Voices. Keep it low, like one or two. You don't want to slice polyphony pileup when you do stutters. Then the big one. Adjust the start point. This is where the groove gets real. Aim to grab the consonant or the transient those B, K, T starts. If your start point is late, the chop feels lazy. If it's early with too much air, it feels soft and it eats space. Dial it so it speaks instantly. If you get clicks, use a tiny fade in, like 0 to 2 milliseconds. Don't overdo it or you'll blunt the transient. Then set a fade out anywhere from 5 to 20 milliseconds to stop tails overlapping and to keep fast edits clean. Now, the most mix-saving move in this whole lesson. High pass the chops, either per slice or globally, but do it. Turn on Simpler's filter, choose high pass, and start somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz. This prevents vocal low end and rumble from smearing your sub and killing your headroom. If you've ever wondered why your sub feels smaller when your vocals come in, this is usually why. Here's another pro cleanliness trick. Choke groups. In the drum rack, set related pads to the same choke group. For example, all your main shout slices go to choke 1. That way, when you do a fast 1/16 run, the tails don't stack. It feels like a single performer, not 10 samples playing at once. This is how you keep that cut-up aggression without the headroom tax. Now we build the heavyweight sub-impact layer. This is the secret sauce, and I want you to think of it like this. Your vocal chop is the blade. The thunk is the handle hitting you in the chest. Option A is the cleanest. Put the sub-thunk on a separate MIDI track. Name it sub-thunk so you don't lose it later. Drop operator on that track. Oscillator A. Sine wave. Set the frequency around 45 to 60 Hz, depending on your track key. Quick reference, F is around 43.65, G is around 49. If you're not sure, pick something that sits with your bassline root. The whole point is that it feels anchored, not random. Now shape it like a punch. Amp envelope, attack at 0, decay around 80 to 160 milliseconds, sustain all the way down and release around 30 to 80 milliseconds. You want it to be a thunk, not a bass note. Short, controlled, gone. Then add saturator after operator. Soft sine or analog clip works great. Drive around 2 to 6 dB, and then compensate the output. And I mean actually compensate. Don't trick yourself with loudness. Now copy your chop MIDI pattern over to the SUB thunk track, but here's the discipline. Delete most of those thunk notes. Only keep thunks on the statement hits. 3 to 5 hits across a phrase can be plenty. If every chop has a thunk, the listener gets fatigue and the mix turns into a low-end argument. Mix rules for the thunk: keep it mono. Put utility on it and set width to 0. If you need to, low-pass it with auto-filter around 90 to 120 Hz so it stays a pure impact layer. And if your kick has sub-energy, sidechain the thunk to the kick, because the kick needs to own the transient in drum and bass. We want weight, not a kick that feels like it's being sat on. Now we glue everything so it hits like one unit, but we keep the sub clean. On the chop group, or on the drum rack master, start with EQ8. High pass around 120 to 200 Hz with a steeper slope, like 24 dB per octave if needed. If the chop is harsh, notch gently around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz. Don't go hunting for problems that aren't their only notch if it's actually biting your ear. Next, add roar for modern density. Start mild, warm drive style vibes, then back off the drive. The goal is density and forwardness, not fuzz. Also, filter the low end out of the distortion path. Distorting lows is how you lose mono stability and how you end up with a sub that sounds big on your system and disappears everywhere else. Then add glue compressor. Ratio around 2:1. Attack 10 to 30 milliseconds so the chop transients can punch. Release on auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, and aim for just 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. This is glue, not flattening. If you want width, do it carefully. Many classic jungle cuts are basically mono-ish and proud. If you widen, keep it subtle and keep anything below about 120 Hz out of stereo processing entirely. On the SUB thunk track, put a Q8 and low pass at around 90 to 120 Hz. If it's too much in the room, a tiny dip in the 50 to 70 zone can help, but go easy. Then add a compressor sidechained from your kick. Ratio 4:1. Fast attack like 0.5 to 3 milliseconds. Release 60 to 120 milliseconds. And set the threshold so you get about 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction when the kick hits. That keeps the groove pumping and keeps the downbeat clean. Now we make it jungle, swing, stutters, edits, and that call and response. Write your chop pattern with syncopation. Think offbeats, think answers. Place chops in those weird little pockets like just before the snare, or right after it, or on those 1.2.3, 1.3.2 type moments where it feels like the sample is talking to the drums. Use velocity like it matters, because it does. Main callouts can sit in the 100 to 127 range. Ghost responses can be 40 to 80. This is how you get groove without adding more sounds. For stutters, do 1 or 2 note stutters before a snare or before a drop moment, 1/16 or 1/32. If it gets messy, shorten the simpler release on those particular pads, and make sure choke groups are doing their job. And here's a high-level groove tip. Micro-time the MIDI, not the audio. Keep your warping stable, then nudge a few key MIDI notes. Push a couple of statement chops 5 to 12 milliseconds early for urgency. Pull a couple responses slightly late. It keeps the transients intact but adds that lev sound system shove. It's subtle, but it's very real. Now add a little swing using the groove pool. Keep it subtle, 10 to 20% swing, and apply it mostly to the chop MIDI. Don't swing your kick and snare anchor unless you're very intentionally going for a more broken, old-school lurch. Next, performance macros. This is where Live 12 becomes an instrument. On your chop group rack, create macros like these. 1. HP cut, map to the high pass frequency, roughly 120 up to 600 Hz. 2. Drive, map to roar or saturator with a subtle range. 3. Crunch tone, map to roar tone or filter frequency so you can make it bite without adding volume. 4. Chop decay, map to simpler release or decay so you can tighten or loosen the edits. 5. Stutter send, map to a send knob feeding a delay or reverb return. 6. Width, map to utility, from 0 to maybe 120, and remember, only use width when it helps the moment. Set up 2 DNB friendly returns. I dub delay return using echo at 1/8 or dotted 1/8, low feedback around 10 to 25%, and filter it dark, so it doesn't clutter the top end. And a rinse verb return using hybrid reverb, with a short plate or room, high passed around 200 to 400 Hz, decay around 0.6 to 1.2 seconds. Jungle needs space, but it cannot afford wash. Now arrangement. Here's a classic structure that works almost every time. Give yourself a 16-bar intro where you tease one or two chops, filtered, and with no thunk. Then a 16-bar drop, full chop pattern, and thunks only on key statement hits, minimal reverb. Then 8 bars of variation. Change the rhythm, add a stutter, maybe transpose a call-response idea. Then 8 bars breakdown. Chop echoes, high pass sweep, negative space. Then second drop. Same slice pool but different rhythm, and alternate the thunk pattern so it feels like a new section. An advanced arrangement upgrade. Impact economy. Make the thunk rarer so it feels bigger. One signature moment per 4 bars where the thunk is fully present. Everything else gets no thunk or a shorter decay version. Contrast equals perceived weight. Also try swapping who owns the downbeat every 8 bars. First half, keep 1.1 mostly open, let chops answer. Second half, one bold chop lands on 1.1, then you go back to offbeats. That one structural flip feels like a whole new drop, without adding any new samples. Now, common mistakes to avoid while you're building this. Don't let the chops carry low end, high pass them, always. Don't overwarp the sample, too many warp markers makes it facey and ruins transients. Don't distort the sub fundamentals. Distort upper harmonics, not the chorus sign. Don't drown chops in reverb. Use short verbs and dark delays. And don't run every slice at full velocity. If everything is shouting, nothing is a statement.